Measure Up Podcast, Episode 30, Finding Lead Indicators. G'day and welcome. It's Stacey Barr here, Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. My passion is making it easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast about finding lead indicators, our practical tip is, where are the predictive KPIs? We'll help Measure Up subscriber Drew answer his question about how to develop predictive performance indicators, and we'll wrap up with a few links to help you create your useful lead indicators. I was trying to think of a recent and super example that I encountered of this oft-forgotten warning. Correlation does not mean causation, but I can't remember it. So to illustrate the point, I did manage to find a cool example of this warning from stats.stackexchange.com, a blog for statisticians and data analysts and the like. It's a scatter plot that shows how global average temperatures have increased with the decline of the pirate population. Oh my goodness. Pirates cause global cooling. Is it that simple? Do more of us just need to become pirates to save the world? Well, of course, that's ludicrous, but there is a continuum from ludicrous to legitimate, and plenty of room for silly leaps from correlation to causation that aren't as obviously daft as concluding that pirates are the answer to global warming. Well, I still can't remember the example that triggered this whole idea about correlation versus causation, but not to worry, I'll just stop eating tofu. Now, I wonder if you're as tired of the looking in the rearview mirror analogy as I am. Driving your business by looking in the rearview mirror means that you're relying solely on lag measures, measures that tell you what has already happened and not what is likely to happen next. The analogy has served its purpose, and I desperately want to blow it to bits, and this practical tip is the bomb. But before we get onto that, a quick message about upcoming events where you can learn my secrets to easy and meaningful KPI design. Firstly, for 2012, we have our Performance Measure Blueprint workshops. The workshops down under are in Brisbane and Melbourne in May. And then we have Canberra and Sydney in June. And we are planning... I haven't finalised the dates entirely just yet, but planning for London in June or July. And then in August, we will have Boston and San Francisco. So stay tuned for those. If you are not in Australia and you would like to learn the blueprint sooner than that, sooner than July or August, you can, because I've set up our next performance measure blueprint online program at a time zone at a time that really suits the USA, UK, Europe time zones. So I have to get up at 3 a.m. to do this for you, but you don't. It's at a convenient time for you to be able to listen in live to the webinar based version of the Performance Measure Blueprint. Now, that starts in February. We have one webinar per week. So if you're interested in either of those options, if you're interested in a live workshop, go to performancemeasureblueprint.com. And if you would prefer the online training, at least the one starting in February, then go to performancemeasureblueprintonline.com. All right, let's jump into our practical tip for this episode. Where are the predictive KPIs? Now remember, you can get the written copy of the podcast's feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. Where are the predictive performance measures? Well, apparently they are not in the rearview mirror. That apparently is where you find the lag measures. But the rearview mirror analogy is not entirely accurate when it comes to defining lead and lag measures, so it's time to blow it up. The first inaccuracy is the assumption that there are two types of performance measures, lead or lag. I think every performance measure has predictive power. It just depends on what you're trying to predict. Technically, average customer satisfaction is a lag measure because it's after the fact. But it can be predictive of customer retention rate, new customers via referrals, and profit. The second inaccuracy is that looking in the rearview mirror only gives you lag information. But in reality, things you see in your rearview mirror can indeed predict outcomes, like being rear-ended. For example, even though profit is considered to be a rearview mirror kind of measure, your historic patterns of average level and variability in profit from month to month can definitely give you some indications of what's most likely in the future, if not much changes. We need to first focus on the performance result we want to improve, and then look at both lead and lag performance measures that relate to that performance result. Each performance result will have its own unique set of lead and lag measures. And this means that a performance measure that is lead for one result can be lag for another. If you want to improve employee engagement, lag measures might include average employee job satisfaction rating or Gallup's employee engagement ratio. Some lead measures might include days of unplanned leave, percentage decisions supported by employee consensus, average employee satisfaction with being listened to, and percentage of employees who believe their job is important. Here, employee engagement ratio is a lag measure. But if we were focused on reducing loss of knowledge from the organization or reducing employment expenses, then it would be a lead measure with some power to predict employees' likelihood to leave the organization. So I guess I'm suggesting that you need to look in all your mirrors and through all your windows to fully prepare for what's likely to happen in the future. Now, if you want to take some action on these ideas, here's my suggestion for you. Map your performance measures on a page to visually reveal their cause-effect relationships. Only map the strong ones, or you'll end up with unintelligible and thusly useless tangle of spaghetti. Which performance measures have predictive power for which other performance measures? Are you reporting these measures together so you get the most use from them? Now, if you find you don't have enough performance measures with predictive power, then you might like the suggestion I have for Drew. Drew's question is, how do I develop predictive performance indicators, where we are headed, versus result performance indicators, or where we have been? Well, developing predictive performance measures is essentially the same process as developing any performance measure. You need to define the result that you want to measure, make sure that result is expressed in measurable language, and then design the measure as the strongest and most feasible evidence of that result. So the real question then is, how do you identify the predictive results? And the answer to that question, at least in part, is to form a cause-effect model about the results or factors that have a causal impact on your outcome. Your outcome is just another performance result. So let's say you work in the kind of industry where community safety is a very critical outcome, and you want to find some predictive performance measures to help you minimize the chances of any harm of your operations on the community. You need to form a cause-effect model about the factors that have a causal impact on the events that cause harm in the community. The more important the outcome, the more time you need to spend doing your due diligence, and this means researching the literature, seeking advice from your industry's experts, and using historical data to find out what those causal factors might be. Perhaps your resulting cause-effect model will suggest that adherence to safety procedures, limits to overtime hours worked and cycle time of carrying out repairs identified through maintenance inspections are among the important predictive results. Develop measures to monitor these results and you have predictive measures. So as always, if you struggle to find the right measures, it's really just a case of taking a step backwards and first trying to define the right results. Well, if you ever have a question you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, simply email it to measureup@stacybarr.com. Well, finally, here are three articles from the Measure Up blog at measureupblog.com for a little extra boost to your search for good lead indicators. The first article is called What's So Special About Lead Indicators? And it talks about what lead indicators are and what their true role is. The second article is called Three Types of Performance Measure Relationships. And that article is about going beyond just understanding cause-effect relationships and also understanding two other types of relationships that can exist between performance measures and why they're important to consider as well. And thirdly, the third article is 7 KPI New Year's Resolutions. And it's just a little bit of fun, but a nice way to start out the year thinking about how you can give your KPI practice just a little bit of an overhaul. Well, this is the end of episode number 30 now. Thank you for listening in. You can download these podcasts and you can read the feature articles at measureupblog.com. You can subscribe to this podcast too if you like at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up. And if you already subscribe at iTunes, I'd so love it if you would give the podcast a rating and leave a comment, and that will help others sign up and we can broaden the Measure Up community. Until next time though, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.